All right, Psalm 73, and we'll see, since we've just sung it, maybe that's helpful, that you can already have in your mind what we will be singing when we sing God's thoughts after him. The wicked, the mechanism by which the Lord keeps us from being alarmed by and despairing from, embittered by, to use the word in Psalm 73. The wicked is by setting himself before us as our treasure, in which case we see the relative infinitesimal value of every other good things by comparison to God. And this, of course, is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. All right. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought to how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord Yahweh, that I may declare all your works. Amen. The reading of God's word. It can sometimes seem to believers like the wicked have it good in this life. That, of course, is a lie. They are constantly enduring the bitterness of being hateful and being hated, of always scheming and lying and losing track of the various loose ends of the lies they have told, and afraid that they may be found out or overthrown, even those who have been the most powerful tyrants in the history of the world have been in constant terror of being assassinated by someone else whom they suspected wanted to be the most powerful tyrant. Many have even been murdered by their children, or have preemptively murdered their children in order to avoid it. And yet, in our sinfulness, we can see sometimes the earthly treasure that the wicked amass, and think to ourselves that they have it good. And then we see the pain that sometimes the Lord brings us through, since he does chasten every son whom he loves, like Hebrews 12 tells us. And we can respond to that in the way verse 13 and verse 14, Asaph responds and says, I've cleansed my heart in vain, because all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. When we should have said, I've not cleansed my heart well enough, just like Hebrews 12 says, you've not yet resisted sin to the point of bloodshed, but the Lord is good to me, and he doesn't let me go without the discipline I need. God loves me as a father, and he gives me the training that I need. So if we were to speak the way our remaining sin views things, and make the mistake of thinking the wicked have it good, and make the mistake of thinking that our trials mean that we have it badly, speaking that way would be untrue or betraying, verse 15, the generation of God's children. But do you know who doesn't speak untruthfully to God's children? Do you know who doesn't betray God's children in the way that he speaks? God himself. And that's why one of the great parts of his response to having gone into the sanctuary of God and worshiping God, and when he does so, he sees the end of the wicked. They don't have God, but God himself is better than anything else. And he sees the end of himself. He does have God already, who is better than everything else. And not only does he have God now, but he'll have God forever. And he sees that in the worship of God, and he says, aha, God guides me by his counsel. Verse 24, that whereas his flesh and his heart were already failing him because of his remaining sin and the way he was not seeing things correctly, yet God is the strength of his heart and his portion. God had come near him in his word and set himself before him corrected the way he was thinking and gave him the ability to believe and embrace the truth about God and his goodness and having God as our portion forever. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this, isn't this? For Jesus is the Word. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word of God. He's our prophet. He's our teacher. He gives us his spirit so that we can understand and believe and hold on to what he says. And Jesus isn't just the Word of God that corrects us, guides us by his counsel. Jesus also is our portion. In Jesus, all of the fullness dwells, as we'll hear in the Colossians passage, Lord willing, in a couple of days. In Jesus are hidden all of the treasures of God for us. In Jesus, who is God, God himself is our treasure. And so when we realize that we have Jesus already and that we have God already in Jesus, we realize, verse 23, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me by your counsel, and you will receive me to glory afterward. You will receive me to glory. So we already have him who is the heavenliness of heaven. So it says, whom have I in heaven? And there's nothing upon earth that I desire besides you. God himself, especially in our Lord Jesus Christ, is our priceless treasure. And so he's reoriented, reassessed his value system by the time he comes to the end of the psalm. It says, they already have the hellishness of hell to not know God himself and God's favor. Indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. That is, to love all of the things, the created things, instead of the creator, is idolatry, but it's idolatry that is personal. It's harlotry. Abandoning having God as your chief treasure and having something else as your chief treasure. So when you are embittered or when you are breaking the 10th commandment, and what does the 10th commandment teach us, Sophia? To be content with our lot. To be content with our lot. When we are breaking the 10th commandment, we are saying, all of these things would be
valuable treasure to me, and I am not happy just to have God and whatever else he is assigned to me with him. That's a very, very wicked response to God. And here it's described in verse 27 as harlotry, like a wife who goes after other people instead of her husband. So also is our heart when it goes after created things instead of the Creator who has given himself to us and has done so most of all in the Lord Jesus Christ. So by the time we get to the end of the psalm, the Spirit has instructed us to reorient our value system, to define goodness as knowing the Lord, trusting in the Lord, declaring the Lord to be the priceless treasure. It is good for me. I define goodness as drawing near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord Yahweh, that I may declare all your works. Indeed, God himself is the priceless treasure, and he has given himself to us in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for this psalm, and we thank you for your patience with us, that we have had this experience where our hearts were far from you and our souls were embittered and we were not treasuring you and we deserved to be destroyed. We were the wicked that ought to have had your wrath burn upon us. But you loved us and you gathered us to yourself in your worship. And you instructed us from your word, and you set yourself before us. And then, as now, we remembered that you, O God, have made us for yourself, and even given yourself to us in Jesus Christ, and that even your way of being worshipped is to guide us by your counsel, to instruct us so that our hearts will be set upon you again and to treasure you again, and discover the true and everlasting goodness. How we thank you that you, in your electing everlasting love, have designed that we would be saved by union with your Son, that he would become flesh and dwell among us, and that by your Spirit working faith in us, when we consider Christ, we would behold his glory. We ask for your Spirit's almighty work in our hearts, that you who made the light to shine in the darkness would cause the light of the knowledge of your glory to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ, that we might treasure him and know you in him, that we would count all goodness as drawing near to you and know that already on earth we have the heavenliness of heaven and there is nothing besides you that we would desire. And so we bless your name for your goodness, and we confess that having given us yourself, together with whatever else you assign us as our lot, you have been infinitely generous. And we pray that you would give us hearts that are content with this, and that love instead, most of all, to praise your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.